Welcome to the Unseen Realm with Paul Renfro and friends. I'm your host, Paul Renfro, and with me are dear friends and mature people who are studying the scripture together about living as a spirit. We're using the scriptures in my book, Nobody Sees This You, How to Live as a Spirit in the Unseen Realm. It's available at ParadigmLighthouse.com. That's link is in the show notes. You're welcome to get a copy, but you can just follow along. We'll have a whiteboard that has the excerpts and the Bible verses we'll be discussing. But it's the tagline that probably drew you to this presentation. Finally, a Bible explanation for what you are experiencing. Because all of us in this group are like you. We have been through this process of having that itch inside that nobody could scratch. But instead of giving up or just taking it as part of the norm, we each have pursued God and found that He could scratch that itch. When strange things keep happening in you and in your life circumstances, don't you feel deep down that there is something, some way, somehow, somebody in an unseen world that is active and maybe even determinative in this visible present world and maybe in your life? Well, you aren't crazy. That is happening to more and more people, and we know because it's happening to us as well. So we know for a fact that it is God agitating people to draw near to Him, and that's not an easy process. So we welcome you to join in. That's what we're discussing tonight. Please give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down because your comments are welcome, and the show notes will tell you how to contact me directly. Now, my friends and I, thank you for joining us. It's a privilege to talk about these things with each other and to include you. We're taking one Bible passage at a time that's used in my book, Nobody Sees This You, How to Live as a Spirit in the Unseen Realm. And so first, I read the scripture, and then we read the short excerpt about that scripture from the book. And then our group discusses it together, and I'm sure you'll find that to be not only fascinating, but also relevant to your own questions. So let's get started. And we're working in chapter one. The heading is the salvation of the dead. The searching spirits of God reveal the love of God. He is the original spirit with spirit characteristics. And we are made in His image, unlike angels, for instance. Our spirit characteristics, after we are born again, enable a love relationship between us who were once dead in spirit and Him who is life itself, spirit population. God is populating the new heavens and the new earth by the continuing birth of new potential spirits, in other words, human reproduction. In John 5:20, Jesus says, "My Father is always at His work to this very day." Now think about the fruitfulness of God. He imagines you and speaks you into conception. Every single person. Think how many billions and billions of potential spirits that He has imagined and caused to be born in mortal bodies. There was an article that the estimated population of the world crossed 8 billion people in the last few months. And it's just amazing that every single one of them is imagined by God. And every single one has the potential to be born as a spirit. Now, as an aside, our premise in the Unseen series is that when God told Adam and Eve that in the day you eat the fruit disobediently, you will die. The record shows that they went on to live 900 years and we're all here as a result of their reproduction. In what way did they die the day they ate? What died was their spirit. They continued to live with souls and flesh, body, mind, emotions, and able to reproduce, obviously. But their spirits were dead. Their faculty for living in the world of spirit was dead. And we've seen in previous episodes where Jesus came to restore what was lost, to bring us back to spirit life. And so as each person puts their faith in Jesus, a new person is created in the spirit world. And what does He say? He is creating new royalty in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who is theirs when you talk about a kingdom? It's the princes and the princesses, not just the king and queen. Now, God wants the harvest to be large. Only living spirits in relationship with him comprise that harvest. But like he said, and we studied in a previous episode, the gate is narrow. He said, broad is the way to destruction, and many are those who find it, but narrow is the gate to life, and few are they who find it. For there to be living spirits requires many billions of potential spirits to be born, because the vast majority of us, candidly, choose death. And we identify our own creator who loves us as a threat to our safety. That's why Paul says that he talks about how there is all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And there is the verse from Jesus that we cited. The purpose of salvation. When the dove descended on Jesus after his baptism, everything in existence changed. It wasn't only an endorsement, an addition to what he already was. It wasn't merely a rite of passage or a sine qua non without which nothing for his salvation ministry. The dove's descent included those things, but they were not the purpose of his filling by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit because that was the purpose of his salvation ministry. He was the Son of Man, a representative of our inheritable authority, what was originally intended for our first parents when they forfeited. Their spirits died and that potential was lost, and with them died their dominion over everything on earth. Each one of us still gives it away unwittingly, so we can't pin all the blame on our first parents. Jesus reintroduced what God originally intended. He said in Luke 19, the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost, a situation, an intention, an original plan. And he is the firstborn among many brethren from Romans 8. When the Holy Spirit, after he filled Jesus as the dove, he drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. It was not merely a test. Nor was it like football players, a preening dance in the end zone, but it was the fire into which the newly forged sword was plunged to be tempered. That sword was the first spirit alive person on earth. Salvation is not the last stop in the Christian life. It is the first. And with that, let's see what you think, Andrew.
Okay. So the thing that it kind of startled me as you're reading it was just that you have the statement, think how many billions and billions of potential spirits that he has caused to be born in mortal bodies. And that's correct. It just, I'm just not used to thinking about it. And so it just startles me to expand my thoughts about how we are spirits by stating that.
Yeah.
I think that's my main statement.
Diane, what would you add to that? What are your reflections?
Really have any.
Okay, well, let's listen to the others and see if something sprouts within. Knowing you, it will. How about you, Chris?
I don't know where to start.
Go for it.
I have a slightly different way of looking at things in terms of how you phrase potential spirits. Mm-hmm. And I look at all creatures that God, all mankind that God has created as spirits and souls, and we become his when we're baptized, which is how you would say when we believe, when we choose to believe. But I would just differ with the word potential. I believe we're all spirits from the moment we are created, and when that first little tiny cell starts dividing as a human being.
Before we move on, Mark, Andrew, Diane, what do y'all think of that? The concept of a person being born in body, but not in spirit. That's where Chris was questioning that. What do you think, Diane, or would you like to say something?
No, I just trust that when I gave my life to the Lord, which seems like yesterday, that was it. And from then on, it was growth and all the other things. So I'm not worried about parsing it out for everybody else.
Well, that's
I think there's some people who think they're saved and they're not.
And that's true, but we have witnessed that, and I don't think there's anybody who would argue that fact.
And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't try to
Andrew, while Diane's
here, I am.
Okay.
I don't go around taking everybody's temperature. Are you saved? I don't know, but I can tell the characteristics of those who are. I can just see that. But it's God who really sees. And if they are, praise God. And if they're not, it's his business.
Isn't that beautiful? Romans 14:4 is such a powerful verse for that very thing. So listener, viewer, if these issues of making discernment have troubled you in the past, maybe you've had some judgmental people in your life, well, let it be known that the scripture says this. In Romans 14:4, it says, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. However, we're trying to understand what the scripture says about our spirits, as Diane rightly called us to. Andrew, do you have a thought about what Chris was saying and the issue of potential spirits?
I do. I think that I go back to the verse that you introduced us to a few weeks ago, and I think it's in John or something, about when he's talking with Nicodemus, that we are born as spirits, and I'm really badly paraphrasing that, but that seems to indicate that there's some sort of start to us becoming a spirit when we're becoming Christians.
Yeah. And that's how I look at it. Yeah. Mark, why don't you weigh in on this, and then we'll bounce back to the others.
It's good discussion. I had mentioned a while ago, maybe a few weeks ago, I had done a series called Garden Life.
Yeah, you did, and that sounded very intriguing.
And that is what I think we're talking about tonight. When we are created out of the dust of the earth, and God made us, formed us, he blew ruach into us, his very breath, his very spirit entered man. So we look at that, and so that's Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve before the fall. So we were a living spirit in a body. What was lost in the fall was the connection of God's spirit that he blew into us. We were living prior to that in spirit life. After the fall, we became human life, human beings. That's the other book, human being. We're human beings. And because we're being human now, because we have no choice. And the breath now becomes human from spirit breath, ruach. And so that was lost. Now, what's gained through rebirth is a partiality of that. We don't have the whole thing because there's still an enemy to be defeated called your flesh. And so when we look at what God has done through rebirth and through Jesus, then we talk about when Paul prays the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now we're going back into those seven spirits. With those seven spirits departed from Adam and Eve. We didn't, and through that Demic curse, we call it, that was lost. We gained that partially back. We only see in part. We don't see in full. We saw in full before. So that was lost. What's being reborn and gained as a born-again believer is the partiality of what God created us, as you would say, living spirits. How many spirits? I believe it's all the same spirit. I believe God kept blowing his spirit into each individual, 8 billion and counting, obviously. We know, who knows how many billions have departed the face of the earth since Adam and Eve. But God's plan is restoration. And he's restoring all things. We see that in Acts 3:20. And he's restoring all things back to original condition through Jesus. And then the final redemption through rapture will be when we are now get our redeemed bodies, which will be the same body Jesus had after the cross, in its entirety. And what we see in part, we'll see then in full. We'll have gained the spirit of God back in its fullness, which we can't do right now. That's why we have to die to self, because we have an enemy called the flesh, where the sinful nature resides. And the Holy Spirit living in the believer, the born again believer, it's not a substitute spirit. It is the spirit of God that is being brought back to empower the believer to be the overcomer of, let's say, Revelation 2 and 3, the seven churches of Asia. It's all about overcoming. I just had on that last night, so it's fresh in my
Let me jump in, because I just think that is really summarizes so well what we also talked about there with the at the end there, that Jesus was filled, let me circle this, Jesus was filled with the Spirit of God because that was the purpose of his salvation authority. He was the Son of Man, and that's why I believe he chose that title. He could have called himself the Son of God and made our lives maybe a little easier in evangelism if he'd just been straight up and given us outlines and so forth. But instead, he chose a picture of what he wanted to restore. And that is, so he called himself the Son of Us, which is just striking that the Son of God would call himself the Son of Us. Chris, let's bounce back to you to wrap this up.
I think the only thing that needs to be said, really, I very much agree with you, Mark. And thank you for expounding on that, which you do well. I think just the whole salvation of what is the purpose of having a relationship with Jesus if it's not for us to be able to finish up this little human life that we are given so that we could finish our eternity with God in spirit, in heaven, with all the communion of saints. We're spirits having a human experience. So that our bodies will die, but the spirit does not. Our souls, our spirits, only the word of God can sever between the spirit and the soul, it says in the Bible. We have to keep our eyes on the prize. The way to get the prize is to have a relationship with Jesus, to believe him. And if we don't believe him, to ask for the grace to believe him. Because he's says so many strange things that it's even back to the Chosen. One of the best things they depict is you don't see it in the Bible when you read the words, but they're depicting these guys scratching their heads going, do you know what he's talking about?
Get used to different.
We may not be able to understand it all. And that's why we pray to the Holy Spirit, because one of his gifts is understanding. Mm-hmm. And he can enlighten us with whatever he feels is important for us to know. And sometimes he doesn't, because it's important for us to have to trust him when we don't know. Mm-hmm. So that's, to me, the salvation is through Jesus, so that we can all be, we can forever enjoy eternity, but because eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard all that he has planned for us. So when we join him in heaven.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Hey, Andrew, if you could see, can you see the whiteboard okay? I'm going to get you to read that Psalm 139 and we'll finish this episode with that.
Okay. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them.
And listener, viewer, we're going to leave you with that beautiful statement that wherever you are with God, we're not dealing with technical manuals and that kind of thing. The important thing is to pursue him. As we say in our introduction, he's agitating people and he's agitated you in order to draw you near to him. Then what is the promise of the scripture? Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. There is no doubt we all have our origin in him. And to fulfill our purpose, to fulfill your purpose, and to make sense of the strange things in your life, both good and unwelcome, it is pursuing God in the face of Jesus Christ that makes sense of everything. And so with that, thank you, my friends. We'll continue our discussion in the next episode of The Unseen Realm with Paul Renfro and his friends. In the show notes are the links mentioned, as well as the whiteboard we used and the scriptures that we discussed. Now, you already know that our podcast and Bible discussion benefits from your thumbs up or thumbs down, right? So thanks for doing that, and we'll enjoy your participation. If you have questions or interest, you can use the contact form at paradigmlighthouse.com to reach out to us.